Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph. And in one fell swoop, we're going to study the last six Mishnayot of the fifth chapter and then the Gemara attendant to them. HaPesach Nishchat B'Shalosh Kitot, Mishnahe says that the Pesach was slaughtered in three groupings. Shenemar Shachtu Oto Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael. The Torah describes in Mitzrayim that Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael will slaughter it, and the notion is Kahal Ve'edah V'Yisrael, three groups. So there's an allusion to three groups. Nichnasa Kata, this is basically for efficiency. Nichnasa Kata Rishona V'Nitmalet Ha'azara, so the first group would come in with their Psachim, that means one representative from each Chaburah would come in. The Azara would be filled. Na'alu Daltot Ha'azara, they would lock the doors of the Azara, or the doors would be locked. Taku heriu v'taku, the Kohanim would sound the shofarot, and the chatzotzrot, Kohanim omdim shurot, shurot uvidehem v'zichei ches v'zichei zahav. The Kohanim were standing in rows, stretching from the Mizbeach all the way to the Ezrat Yisrael, where the people bringing the korbanot were standing, and they would have cups either of silver or of gold. Shura shkula kesef kesef, shura shkula zahav zahav. Each row had either all gold or all silver. Lo hayu mu'ravin. There was no mix. Lo hayu lav azichin shulayim. The cups did not have bottoms, meaning they had round bottoms, not flat bottoms. Shema yinichum v'yikaresh adam, because they're afraid that somebody would take them with, when they had the blood in them, and put them down for a little bit, and while they would be able to sit straight, the blood would coagulate. So this way they'd always have to be moving, and the blood wouldn't set. Next Mishnah. Shachat Yisrael, so the Jew would shecht, v'kibel ha-kohen, and the Kohen would do Kabbalat Adam. So the Kohen who was standing at the very end of the row would have the cup in his hand, would get the dam. No l'chavro v'chavro l'chavro, he'd pass it down, u'mekabel et ha-maleh u'machzir tarikan. So they would be passing full cups, in the meantime getting back empty cups from the Mizbeach. And the Kohen standing closest to the Mizbeach would then put one Keneger HaYisod, which means that it's going to be on the southern and western side. Now, Yetzakat Rishona, after all of this happened, the first group would leave, Nichesakat Shnia, the second group would come in, this is Mishnah Zayin now, Nichesa Yatzta Shnia, and Nichesa Shlishit, the second one would go out, the third one would come in. K'maser Rishona, Kach Maser Shnia, Shlishit, just as we described for the first group, the second and third group would do the same, and then we have something else that we did not hear about. Karu Et Hallel. They would read the Hallel while this was going on. Im Gamru Shanu. If they finished the Hallel, they'd repeat it. Im Shanu Shileishu. If they finished reading it a second time, they'd start reading it a third time. This is the Levim singing. Avabi Shalosh Shil Shumi Yimehem. Even though it never happened that they went with a particular group to, into a third time. Rino Mermi Mehem Shel Kach Lishit Loigel Lahavti. The third group never got up to halfway through the Hallel, because they always had a small group, so they were done more quickly, because the Shechita and the passing of the blood was done, and by that time they had not even gotten up to in Hallel. Now, in the next Mishnah, if Pesach falls on Shabbat, meaning the 14th falls on Shabbat, it's done exactly as we described, same way as Chol, El HaShakonim Medichim Et HaAzara Shel Ratzon Chachamim, that the Kohanim would wash out the Azara after the end, and the Chachamim were not happy with that. We'll see why. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Hayam Maleh Midama Tarovet. Rabbi Yehuda adds something else in, which is not uniquely about Shabbat, is that they would take a cup, and all of the dam that was mixed in the ground, they would put into the cup. So, Rakos Rikah Chatka Mizbeach, and they would put one Zrikah of that dam on the Mizbeach, and the notion was that in case somebody's dam had not made it to the Mizbeach, so somehow in the mix, this, it would get to the Mizbeach and the Korban would be acceptable. V'lo hodu lo chachamim, and the chachamim did not agree with that practice. Now, Nishnat Tet, Ketzan Tolin Umafshitin. How would they flay the animal? So you slaughtered the animal, the dam went on, now they had to flay the animal, so they'd have to hang it and flay it. How would they do that? There were iron hooks that were in the walls of the Azara, and that's where they would hang the animal and strip it, the skin off. If you didn't have a place, because there were only so many hooks and more people, Lafshit maklota kim chalakim ayusham. They had some thin dowels. Menichok tefov al katef chaviro, and you'd put it on your shoulder and another fellow's shoulder. And toleu mafshit, you'd hang the animal over the dowel and use that to flay it. Instead of using the dowel, you put your arm on the other fellow's shoulder, the other fellow put his arm on your shoulder, and you'd hang the animal over there, and somebody else, or you'd use your other hand, to strip it, to flay it. The last Mishnah, Karan Ol v'hotzi emurav. So you rip open the animal, take out the emurim that go on the mizbeach. Tanova megis, you put it into a pot. V'ktiran al gabei mizbeach, and burn them on the mizbeach. And then the rest of the animal, of course, you're going to take and process, which we're going to deal with later on. Yatztakat rishonav v'yashvalav har habayit. Now on Shabbat, what would happen? The first group would go out and would sit on har habayit. Shniyah b'chil, and the second would sit in the ramparts, which is between har habayit and the azara. Vashtashit bin koma, and the third group would stay put, because you cannot carry the animal out on Shabbat to your house in Yerushalayim where you're staying for the korban. Once it got dark, they all went home, or to where they were staying, and they roasted their korbanot. But in the meantime, they would have to stay there. Okay, now to the Gemara, which is now on Samach Dal and Amud Bet near the top. So Rabbi Yitzchak adds to the Mishnah that each group had 30 people. My tam, my why, kahal ve'edav Yisrael. So again, the three words in the pasuk. So we don't know if kahal ve'edav Yisrael and an edai is 10, if that's all together or separately. Hilkach ba'inan shalosh kitot shloshim shloshim bnei adam. So he's saying that there's a minimum here. We're going to see much different numbers coming up, but a minimum, because you may need to have a kahal edai Yisrael, which would be 3 times 10, 30, in one shot, or maybe in three different shots, so therefore we have a total of 90. Because if the Torah wants us to have one group of Kali Davi Yisrael of 30, we got it. If the Torah wants us to have three groups of groupings, then we've got that too. You could have 50. To Aili Tlatin Vavdi, 30 come in and do it. Aili Asara V'nafki Asara, 10 could come in and 10 could leave. Aili Asara V'nafki Asara, another 10 could come in and leave. So if you have to have a very small group coming for Pesach of 50, you could still do it and still have a separate Eidah coming in for the new piece, and that's 10, and a total of 50. Okay. Now, Nichazakar Rishonai, Yit Rabaya Marnin Alutnan. The Mishnah says that the gates were locked. Rav Amar no alin tonight. He says, no, they locked them. What's the difference? My benayu, the kibenayu, lemis machanisa. In other words, according to Abaye, the gates were miraculously locked, by divine intervention when 30 had come in. Abaye marina lutran, kama da ailu ma'alu, v'samchin anisa. In other words, get as many people in as you can. We rely on the nace that the gates will close when it's time. Rava said no, they wouldn't rely on an ace when they had 30 in there, or however many they would have in there that would fill the Azara. It's probably a lot more than 30. They would lock them. This is a sugya in Brachot that discusses which one of the famous Chachamim actually ended up dying benidui. There was a suggestion that it was Akav ben Mahalalel. And Rabbi Yehuda protested and said, how could it be? After all, the Azara is not locked on anybody as great as him. It's a way of saying he was a really great and pious person. So the phrasing is Nin Elet, which means that it was locked, sounding like a miraculous piece. Abai Matarz Tameh, Rav Matarz Tameh, each of them explains it according to their own position. Abai Matarz Tameh, Ein Ba Azara B'Sha'a Shenin Allah Al Kol Adam B'Yisrael B'Chachma V'Yirat Chet Kachav Mahalel. What he means is that when the gates miraculously locked, there was nobody in there as great in wisdom and in fear of heaven as a Kavman Mahalel. Rav Matarz Tameh, Rav would have a more difficult time because Nin Elet sounds like it was locked miraculously. He just says, when the Levim would lock the gates, there was nobody inside as great as a covenant Mahalalel, either each way, leading towards the same conclusion. He was a very great man. How could you say that he died benidui? Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Me'olam lo in'ma'echa dam ba'azara chutz pesach echad. Nobody ever got crushed in the Azara ever, except for one time, Pesach, Shayabi Me Hillel. In Hillel's period, we're going to learn a lot more about Hillel on the Pesach in the next podcast. There was one elder who was crushed. So they called that year the Pesach, the crushed Pesach. One time Agrippus, there were two Agrippuses, this is evidently Agrippus the second, wanted to know how many Jews there were. Well, take a census. Amar Kohen Gadol, Tein Enacha V'Psachim. So he told the Kohen to count the Psachim, see how many Psachim there were, and then figure based on that how many Jews there were who were celebrating Pesach based on X amount per Chaburat. Natal Kulya Mikol Echad. So what did the Kohen do? The Kohen Gadol took one kidney from each animal. Tzusham Shishim Ribo Zugei Klayot. There were 600,000 pairs, meaning 1,200,000 kidneys. Kiflayim Kiyotzei Mitzrayim. Chutz Mitamei Shayev Eder Chalkan. That, of course, didn't count people who didn't celebrate the Pesach because they were Tamei Meit, or they were far away, and we're going to do Pesach Sheni. And that's, of course, just talking about the Chaburot. There were at least 10 people per Pesach. So unlike the Pesach Me'uchin that we had earlier with the crushed man, here we had the Pesach of thickness, of greatness, because the estimation here was that they had 12 million people celebrating Pesach. How we understand that number, a little unclear. Now, Natal Kulya, parenthetically in that story, it says that the Kohen Gadol took one of the kidneys. Habayakturi, you have to burn it. Tahadamaktilahu, he would take it and then put it on his back and count it. Vahakti vihiktiro, shaloyarav chalavav shalzebezeh. You're not allowed to mix one korban with another, so how could you take it and throw it on top? Tahadamaktilahu chadachada. In other words, he would take all the kidneys and then burn them up separately. Vatanya vihiktiram, shekulo keachad. You have to burn the whole, all the imurim of an animal together. In other words, he would take it quickly, and put it up there, until they got him something else. In other words, he would not hold on to the kidney. He would grab a kidney, and then they'd give him something like a stick or a rock or something else with which to count, and immediately it would go up on the mizbeach. He wouldn't hold on to it. Okay, Kohanim Amdin Shurot. So the Kohanim would stand in these long rows. My Tama, Ile Medilla Shakli Davai Lidichaspa. Were you afraid that he would take a gold one and give a silver one? Achanami Dilma Shakli Bar Matanam Ali Bar Mea. So again, he may take a bigger one and use a smaller one. Eladahachi Shaper Tve. It just looks nicer. It was aesthetics. Voloi Luba Zichin Shilaim. So we said the cups, they had no flat bottoms. Tanabanan, Kol Zichin Mikdash Lo Yilin Shilaim. This is true about all the cups of the Mikdash. Chutz Iba Zichin Levona Shalachim Apanim. Except for the two cups that were used to put the Levona in that went over the Lachim Apanim every week. Shema Yinichum Vifros Halachim. Because there we wanted them to be flat, because otherwise if you'd put them on top of the bread, they'd roll around and the bread would get cut open. Okay, further in the Mishnah, Shachai Yisrael v'kibel HaKohen, we said that the Yisrael would shecht. Lo sagel av Yisrael, what, a Yisrael has to shecht? A Kohen can't shecht? So he goofa kamashtan, that's teaching you shechita bizar kshira. The non-Kohen can do shechita, as we know. Kibel HaKohen, and the Kohen would do Kabbalat Adam. Kamashtan Kabbalah mitzvah kuna, the Kohen would have to take over at Kabbalah. Something that we've seen many times. And from there on, it's all Kohanim. No, no, lachaviro. So he'd hand it to the other fellow. Sham minaho lacha, shalo beregel havi holacha. So that teaches you that passing something, in other words, walking something to the mizbeach without actually moving your feet, is still called holacha. And that makes that an avodah, which means if one of the Kohanim would have a wrong machshava, then it may count, except according to Reb Shimon. Dilma hu nayid purta. So maybe not. Maybe the Kohen would take a half a step. So what's it teaching? So Hakamashlan Berovam Hadrat Melech. It's teaching us this principle that having a lot of people involved with this mitzvah brings greater glory to God. So instead of having one Kohen walk to his Beach, passing it coin to coin was a very nice thing. So he'd pass the full ones and get back an empty one. He wouldn't pass a full and get an empty one, get a full one. In other words, you never pass by the mitzvah, so as soon as you get, you always get a full one to pass. Okay, Kohen HaKarov Beitzal Mizbeach. We said the Kohen who was closer to the Mizbeach would do Zrikah, one Zrikah Kenegad Yisod, Matana Achat. I'm Rav Chista, Rav Yosef Glilihi. So who is it who teaches that Pesach needs Zrikah, as opposed to, we'll see what the other option is. Netanya, Rav Yosef Glilihi, Omer Etamam Tizrok Al Mizbeach Vetchelbam Taktir. This is talking about Bechorot, another gift to the Kohanim. Damolo Nemar Ela Damam. It doesn't say his blood, but rather their blood. Chelbolo Nemar Ela Chelbam. And not its fat, but their fat. What does that teach you? Limeid al Bechor Umaser UPesach, the three famous lowest level shlamim, Sheitunin Matan Damim, they have to have Damim put on the Mizbeach, Vemurim the Gamim Mizbeach, and the Murim on the Mizbeach. Munalan Tunin Yisod, how do we know that they need to be at the Yisod, at that corner? Lazar Atya Zrika, Zrika Miola, the Torah says that Zrakol Mizbeach about the Ola, and now, Tamam Tizrok, we're reading about, being about the Pesach also, and the Olah has to be Kenegad Yisod. Tivach Tamam Tizrok Mizbeach, Tivhatam Zarkom and Aaron Konim and Tamam Mizbeach Saviv, Maola Tuna Yisod, Af Pesach Tamami Taun Yisod, just like the Olah has to be at the Yisod, the Olah Gufam and Alan, how do we know it has to be at the Yisod? Amakwal Yisod Mizbeach Olah, Alma Olah Tuna Yisod. We see that the Mizbach HaOlah is, that the Yisod is referred to as Yisod Mizbach HaOlah. So you see that an Olah has to be thrown right near the Dam of the Olah has to be thrown in one of its Matanot. It has two. One on one corner and one on the other corner, when the other corner has to be of the Yisod. And therefore from Zrikah we apply it to Pesach also. Okay, it's Takat Rishona. We said the first group went out, the second group came in. Tane, he nikreit katatzlanit. The third group was called the lazy group. Sagir alav hachi, my havilu lemeavid. What do you want them to do? After all, there's a line. Filuachi bailu lezruzin afshayu. They should have come earlier. Kedetan, Rabbi Omer, eifshar leolam below basam below bursi. The world needs spice people and the world needs tanners who smell terrible. Even though from a global perspective we need both, still it's a lot better to be a guy who deals with things that smell sweet. In the same way, we're going to need three groups, but you should be part of the first group. The same idea about having boys and girls. Okay, k'maseu b'chol. So he said, just like you do during the week, you do on Shabbat, except for the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, that they would wash out the Azara, and the Chacham were opposed. Shalobert son man. Who were the ones who were opposed to this washing? Rachista, Shalobert son Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbanan ha'am is shvutu. After all, Rabbanan say washing a floor is a shvut, and there's no shvut but mikdash. So Mahi, what's this about? The tiny achara choleva mechabetsa megaben kigrogerot, the shear of milking or of letting cheese sit, is kigrogerot yechayav. Hamechaben mechabetsa harodeh chalot vash b'shogeg b'shabbat chayav chatat. If you sweep the floor or you lay down water on a dirt floor or you pull out honey from a honeycomb on Shabbat, yechayav. You get makot on Yom Tov, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Chachamim disagree and said, all of those things are only shvut. And therefore, they would say that there's no problem doing it in the Mikdash. You don't have to say it's Rabbi Eliezer, whose position we rejected. But rather, it could be Rabbi Natan. The Tan of Rabbi Natan Omer, shvut tzricha hitiru, shvut sheinat tzricha lo hitiru. That the rule that we learned at the end of Eruvin, that ein shvut b'mikdash is not a blanket rule. Only a shvut that was needed, like fixing a string for one of the instruments that Levim had to play that day, was permitted. But just to wash the floor, just for the aesthetic or to get it cleaned out, that they didn't allow. That's Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kos hayam malei. So he said that they would go around and they at the end of the day they would fill a cup with all the dam that was left over to put one matan on the mizbeach. And let's get the background. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kos hayam malei midam ataruvot shi mishafech damo shel achad mehem nitza zeh machshiro. As I mentioned earlier, Rabbi Yehuda's position was that if somebody's dam for some reason didn't make it to the mizbeach, like in all the passing in that bucket brigade, some of it fell and didn't make it to the mizbeach, then this way some of his dam would get on the mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'alonin kabel b'kli, but his dam didn't come into a kli. So menayadi, who says? Maybe it did come into a kli and got spilled. The likelihood is that it did, because the coin standing there underneath the animal to get it, probably somewhere between there and the Mizbeach, it spilled. Halachic Amr, that is what they said. Shevelin Kabel Bikli. Not it didn't, but maybe it didn't. And Afan Ivo Martel and Kabel Bikli. He said, I'm only talking about Dom that did make it into a Kli, otherwise it can't go on the Mizbeach. So Menah Yada. How would Rabbi Yehuda, how would they know? The answer is Kohanim is reasoning. The Kohanim are careful. And therefore, the Kohen who's standing under the animal and getting the dam is careful to make sure every animal's dam goes in the Kli, at least some of it. He's reasoning on Mishtapich, so if they're so good, why did some spill? The answer, Agav Zisutayu, the Avdi Mishtapchi, because they're working so zealously that one may have spilled along the way. Ay, Valo Dama Tamtzit Murav Bo, but remember that. You don't have just Dam HaNefesh, you also have Dama Tamtzit, the dam that comes out at the end, is mixed on the floor. And Dama Tamtzit is not Mechaper. Rabbi Yehuda is a position that Dama Tamtzit does count. Dama Tamtzit be'az hara, meaning eating Dama Tamtzit is an Isur. You don't maybe karet. No, it's a full karet. It's regular dam. I remember Mechaper, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not Mechaper. Shinemarki Adam hu b'nefesh Mechaper. Whether the Isur of Dam is related to the Dam working as Kapar on the Mizbeach, and it's Dam HaNefesh, meaning it's the Dam is the life force. So therefore, Dam HaNefesh Yotzambo Mechaper, only the Dam that when it leaves, that's when the life leaves, that's Mechaper. Dam HaNefesh Yotzambo ain't a Mechaper. So therefore, Dam HaTamtzit, which comes out after the animal's dead, is not Mechaper. Rabbi Yehuda Tamir, Rabbi Yehuda has a different position. Dam Ein Dam Vatel Dam is something we saw throughout Tzvachim. Ein dam vatal dam. So that means you could have a tiny little bit of the proper dam and a whole lot of the other kind of dam, it's still okay. And that's why he says they could collect it and put it up in the Mizbeach. And that's why Chachamim disagree. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, the Divrechem, Lama, Pokin, et Azara. So Rabbi Yehuda asked them, why did they put a plug into the drainage system in the Azara on Pesach? Amr lo, Shevachul, Bnei Aaron, Shechwarak, Obedeim, Adam. Because it was aesthetically nice to have the Kohanim walking around with all this dam around. Avakachaitz, but it becomes a chatzitza. So lachu v'ena chotzitz. The answer is it's moist and it's not chotzitz. Kedetanya, adam v'adyo v'chalav v'advash, blood and ink and milk and honey, yiveshim chotzitzim, if they dried up their chotzitz. Lachin en chotzin, if they're moist, they're not chotzitz, not for tevila, but also not for walking on the ritzpah of the azara, which you can't have a chatzitza between your feet and the azara. V'akam et vasim anayu, but their clothes are getting dirty. Right? V'tanya hayub gadam tushtashin v'avad avarato psula. If your clothes are really disgusting, the big day kuna are dirty, and you do avodah, it's pasul. V'chitem ademadluhu lemanayu, you think that they raise their garments up, so the garments aren't getting, blood. V'tanya mido vad mido kimidato. After all, the begadim the kohanim have to wear have to be exactly to the measurements. Shtachsav aloyotir. So the answer is, when would they get all this dam on them? When they were walking the limbs up to the ramp. Not up the ramp, because obviously the dam's not that high, but to the ramp. And that act is not avodah, therefore, they could raise their garments up or already have the blood on it. But if you could only have Kohanim doing it, there must be an avodah. The tiny v'kriva kohanim to kohanim zbeich hazu alachat evrim lakevesh. That's walking the Avrim up to the ramp to go up to the Mizbeach. V'lachat etzim l'maracha. That's what we're talking about. When the Kohanim would bring wood for the wood pile on the Mizbeach, to lav avodahi. That's not an avodah. V'lachat Avrim l'kevesh v'lachat dam mi'ahechi yazli. But how would the Kohanim then bring the limbs and bring the dam to the Mizbeach? Those are avodot and the gadim are dirty. The answer is demaskia yitztavi. They would walk on these steps that are above, and that way they wouldn't get the dam on it. But for the at the end, when they would be bringing wood, and they'd make sure to do this after they had brought the other things, then they'd get it dirty, and it was some sort of a nice thing for the Kohanim to be surrounded by all of this dam. Okay, the end of the parak, Ketzat Tonav Shitin, talked about how they would flay the animal. Atuhu gufo humaktilahu, what, the same guy has to burn them? Not that he would burn them, but they would put them in the pot to be burnt on the Mizbeach. What would they do? They would take the Pesach and put it back into the skin and put it over their back and then wait to be able to go out. Amrav Ilish Ta'ayot. So he describes them as being kind of like Arabs. In other words, the way that they would look like merchants carrying the stuff over their back, that's what they would look like when they're about to leave the Azara. Okay, Adronalach Tamid Nishchat, and we're going to begin our study of the sixth parak about the intersection between Pesach and Shabbat, and a very famous story about Hillel and how Hillel became the head of the Sanhedrin. In the meantime, I wish everybody a wonderful day.